Okay, let's just
sure.
Let's try and unpack this. We're seeing something really extraordinary right now. It feels like a massive simultaneous flood of these, world-changing tech reveals, and they're all hitting within weeks of each other. If you look at the source material we've pulled, confidential design docs, analyst reports, all from around the start of 2026, it feels like we flipped a switch. We've gone from, linear progress, predictable steps, to something truly exponential.
It's a huge moment. And what's really fascinating to me is the sheer speed of it. I mean, the underlying architecture of our reality, the code, the silicon that powers everything, it's shifting right under our feet. This isn't just, a new app or some software update. It's a systemic foundational re-architecture of how we even interact with technology.
Which means you, listening to this, you're getting hit with a fire hose of information. So our mission for this deep dive is to navigate, seven of these seismic shifts across film, gaming, energy. We're going to pull out the crucial nuggets for you, give you the shortcut to being instantly in the know without getting buried in all the jargon. So let's jump right in, starting with this massive upheaval in the creative world.
Yeah, let's start with what the analysts at Taken Game are calling the OpenAI earthquake.
Right, Sam Altman's surprise reveal of Sora 3. I mean, the first versions of AI video, they were impressive demos, sure, but they were short. 30-second clips where characters would kind of melt or forget what they were wearing. The sources are now calling Sora 3 a studio in a box.
And it's earned that name. It's because this new version has finally broken the two big technical barriers that held AI back from, feature-length movies. The first one is what they're calling long-form coherence. So previous models, they couldn't really hold a memory of the scene. Sora 3, though, has shown it can maintain character identity, costume details, location geography over an entire 90-minute runtime. It actually understands continuity.
So it knows if a character walks through a door, they come out the other side still wearing the same shirt,
yeah,
and the background hasn't randomly changed from, Paris to the moon.
Precisely. It's consistent enough to sustain a story. And the second breakthrough is, this is the critical one, it's called directing mode. You're not just typing a vague prompt and, hoping for the best anymore.
Tell me about that control, because that sounds like the difference between a toy and a real creative tool.
It absolutely is. Directing mode gives you this granular, real-time control that used to require physical equipment. Users can adjust camera angles on the fly. They can dial in specific lens focal lengths. And for anyone in film, that's a huge deal. The difference between a wide 35 millimeter and a tight 85 millimeter for that cinematic portrait look. You can tweak lighting, color grading, all inside the software.
That's insane.
It's like taking a cinematographer's entire toolkit and putting it into a few clicks. And the industry impact, according to our sources, was immediate. Netflix has apparently signed a multi-billion dollar deal just for Sora 3.
And that deal targets two things. First, massive background generation for live action films. So think of huge cityscapes or crowds that used to take months to render. And second, the complete end-to-end production of animation. And this is where we have to, pause and think about the human cost.
The labor market shift you were talking about.
Right. The prediction from Taken Game is startlingly fast. They're forecasting that by 2028.
Just 2 years from now?
Exactly. By 2028, 50% of all streaming animation will be generated without direct human frame-by-frame work. The efficiency gains are just too big for studios to ignore, which means the labor market for traditional animators is about to change, and change very, very quickly. A staggering change. Okay, let's shift from the creative world to the core silicon that powers it all. Because the next seismic shift is happening inside the next generation of gaming hardware. We have those confidential documents on the PlayStation 6.
And this is a major strategic pivot for Sony. They've renewed their partnership with AMD for a custom 2-nanometer chip, probably based on the Zen 7 architecture. Now, that 2-millimeter figure is important. Smaller numbers mean incredible density, which translates directly to efficiency and speed.
Okay, so with the PS5, the big focus was the SSD, right? Loading data faster. Where's the PS6 putting all its power?
It's focusing heavily on the NPU, neural processing unit. This is a dedicated part of the chip just for handling AI tasks. So the console war, according to these sources, it's no longer about raw graphical muscle, measured in TFLOPS.
TFLOPS, right. Basically, how fast can do math for graphics? So it's shifting from brute force to IQ?
Exactly. Intelligence. The goal, laid out in the dossier, is creating living worlds. And the way they get there is fascinating. NPCs, the non-playable characters, they won't be using those old pre-written dialogue trees anymore.
Oh, we all know that feeling. You ask an NPC a question and get the same canned response you got 2 hours ago.
That's the old way. The PS6 is designed so these NPCs are powered by on-device small language models, SLMs. This means they're smart enough to actually remember what you did 5 hours ago. They can speak naturally, react dynamically, so every single player gets a genuinely unique story.
That's the holy grail for anyone who loves open-world games. It stops being a script you're following and starts feeling like real improvisation. That shift from pre-scripted to real-time adaptation, that fundamentally changes what a game is.
And that same pivot towards pure efficiency and intelligence, we're seeing it in the operating system world too. Microsoft is making a huge surgical cut with its roadmap for Windows Core. We're assuming it'll be branded Windows 13.
And the big cut here sounds painful. They're entirely stripping out support for 32-bit legacy applications.
It's that necessary sacrifice of the past for exponential progress. I mean, we are talking about decades of technical debt just gone. Instantly.
But wait, is that really worth it? Think of all the small businesses or just regular people who rely on that old, stable software.
That's the calculation they made. The argument is the benefits outweigh that short-term pain. You get an OS that's significantly lighter, it boots in under 3 seconds flat, which is unheard of for Windows. And crucially, it's immune to decades of legacy malware that was tied to that old architecture.
And the battery life improvement.
It's massive. Their internal docs suggest up to a 30% improvement in laptop battery life, just by getting rid of all that bloated legacy code. But yeah, the cost is real. That old accounting software, your favorite games from the 2000s, maybe that old printer driver.
Yeah.
They just stop working. It's a clean break.
The price of entry to the exponential era, I guess.
Hey.
Okay, moving from the inside code to the outside hardware. The next innovation on our list, it finally kills the biggest complaint about folding phones.
Samsung is leapfrogging the folding tech entirely, mainly to counter their competition. Their new device is reportedly the Galaxy Z Roll, and the slogan is "Unroll your world."
So is it just another spin on the foldable idea?
Not at all. Instead of folding like a book, the screen literally extends out of the side on motorized rails. You just push a button.
But does it fix the number one problem, that dreaded crease in the middle?
Yes. That's the killer feature. Because it rolls like a scroll instead of bending sharply, the middle crease is completely gone. It just seamlessly goes from a normal 6-inch phone to a 7.5-inch tablet.
And the price point suggests it's not for everyone.
No, definitely not. It's expected to be north of $2,200. It's positioned as the ultimate status symbol for 2026. But that rollable screen is a massive hardware leap. But maybe the biggest shift is happening inside the devices themselves. We're moving from aesthetics to straight-up science fiction with the 50-year battery.
50 years without charging. That sounds like something out of a 1950s magazine.
It's real. This news comes from a Chinese startup, Betavolt. They just received commercial safety clearance for their BV100 atomic batteries.
Okay, walk me through the tech here, because atomic battery sounds a little intense.
Well, it uses nickel-63 isotopes. As the nickel slowly decays, it emits electrons. And those electrons are captured by layers of synthetic diamond, which acts as a semiconductor and, this is the important part, the radiation shield. It just converts that decay directly into electricity.
And the claim is really 50 years of continuous power.
50 years. No maintenance, no charging. Now, to be clear, the wattage is still pretty low, far too low for our power-hungry smartphone, for example.
So it's not powering that new Galaxy Z Roll.
Not yet. But it's immediately revolutionary for low-power things. Think IoT sensors buried in concrete or medical pacemakers and wearables. Imagine buying a smartwatch that you just never, ever have to plug in.
No more scrambling for a charger at midnight. I mean, think about the cognitive load that just removes from your life. It's the beginning of the end for the entire charging cable industry, at least for small devices.
It completely changes what consumers expect. We go from managing power to just assuming it's always there.
That is staggering. Okay, finally, before we pull all this together, let's talk about connectivity, because the last big announcement is a huge geopolitical move.
China has inaugurated the world's first commercial quantum internet network. It connects Shanghai and Beijing. And this is not just faster fiber optic cables. This is physics-changing communication.
You hear quantum and you think complexity. But why is it being called physically unhackable?
Because it relies on quantum entanglement. So you have two particles that are intrinsically linked no matter the distance. The information is encoded in their quantum state. And according to the laws of physics, any attempt to intercept or even just observe the data changes that quantum state.
So just by looking at the message, you change the message.
Exactly. And that change instantly alerts the receiver and destroys the message before it can be read. It's physically impossible to listen in without getting caught. It's an unhackable wall.
Okay, so right now it's just for what, high security banking and military communications? What about for the rest of us?
Well, the rumors are already flying about Huawei developing quantum modems for consumers. And if that tech scales down, the implication is that lag or ting could be physically eliminated. Quantum data transfer is essentially instantaneous. It raises a huge question, you know. The new Cold War isn't being fought over oil anymore. It's being fought over qubits.
Wow. Okay. Let's take a breath and try to synthesize all of this. From Sora 3 to this quantum internet, what does this week of reveals actually mean for us?
We've seen the lines just completely blur. Film and animation, they blend into pure AI with Sora 3. The line between a game and reality is dissolving with the PS6's intelligent worlds. And science fiction has basically merged with consumer tech, thanks to those atomic batteries.
The shift from linear to exponential feels complete. I mean, you wake up tomorrow, the world looks the same, but underneath, the code and the silicon, that the foundation has just irrevocably shifted.
And we saw the cost of it, right? Sacrificing those old 32-bit libraries in Windows Core for speed. But we also saw the incredible rewards, unhackable networks and batteries that free us from the wall socket for half a century.
So if innovation is now focused on IQ in our devices, like the PS6's NPU, and qubits in our networks, the human relationship with knowledge itself have to change.
Precisely. When information can be instantly generated, instantly transferred, synthesized by machines, you have to start seriously thinking about what role human-controlled knowledge and expertise will even play. The ultimate challenge for all of us entering this exponential age is figuring out how to make sure AI remains our tool, not our replacement. And that's the thought we'll leave you with.